Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have you back here. As another week opens, we look forward, ever forward. I'm not sure if I want to start with the news or if I want to start with my personal life. You don't want to hear about my personal life. It's actually quite depressing, except for church this morning. And hanging out with my extremely attractive audio engineer. That's always nice. But, I'll start with this story from the Justice File. Dateline Houston, Texas. A mother who was out with her two children shopping became the victim of a would-be purse snatcher, but a good Samaritan armed with a gun came to the rescue. That's right, he got her purse back, and someone snapped a picture of the Good Samaritan holding the two suspects at bay with a firearm. And the photo went viral, and a number of my friends posted it up on Facebook. And it's just always encouraging to see. Well, you know what's encouraging is to see a website, a secular website, acknowledging the living God by using the term Good Samaritan. For all of you out there who matriculated at Colorado University or who graduated from the government schools, a Good Samaritan is from the Bible, just in case you didn't know. And it's always encouraging to see a good American holding criminals at bay with a weapon. It made my week. I want to thank all my friends who posted it. It was really inspirational. Not unlike the memory verse my daughter chose for Children's Sunday School this morning at Denver Bible Church. Young Nicole, who's almost 13 years old now, believe it or not, was asked by a couple of the moms at the church if she could take over Sunday School for the kiddos so that the moms could have the day off in honor of Mother's Day. And Nicole naturally accepted and decided she was going to do something about mothers. And when Nicole teaches Sunday school, she picks a memory verse for the children to memorize. And they have some crafts, and they listen to some music, and they dance, and they have a lot of fun. She's a very popular Sunday school teacher. When it was announced at church that she would be teaching Sunday school, all the little kids clapped. She got a round of applause.
Really?
Before class, even. Yeah. So, because it was Mother's Day, she thought the verse that the children should remember would be honor your father and mother. And number one, it's short and simple, it's important, and it's good for youngsters to memorize such verses. And now you can find that in several places in the Bible, a half a dozen or so, starting back in Exodus all the way up through the New Testament, the Gospels, Ephesians. So there's a number of places in the Bible that Nicole could have chosen to write down. She writes the memory verse on a big banner and holds it up for all the kiddos so that they can read it and memorize it. And as we were getting ready to head out for church this morning, I checked the banner that Nicole had prepared for Sunday school. And she had chosen Matthew, the 15th chapter in the 4th verse. And I'll go ahead and quote it for you. Warning, warning, Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would like to chastise, criticize, or otherwise shut up anyone who would ever even dare consider quoting a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Matthew, the 15th chapter in the 4th verse, Nicole wrote for all the little kiddos, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Now, Nicole's been raised, obviously, in Denver Bible Church, because most Sunday school teachers, especially of the 12-year-old ilk, they generally leave off that last part. And I said, "Nicole, you've selected an interesting verse." I said, most Sunday school teachers, they kind of cut that one off right at honor your father and mother. And she said, "But Daddy, why would I cut the verse in half?" And I said, let's go with it. I like it. Anyway, so a good time was had by all. And the children at Denver Bible Church learned that Jesus was pretty hardcore. Pretty hardcore preacher he was. And we really appreciate having Nicole teaching Sunday school for the kids at Denver Bible Church. And we will move on into the news of the week. It's a bit depressing that here on Mother's Day, you all know that if you've been listening for any time, that my extremely attractive audio engineer is particularly averse to stories about, how shall I put it? Well, just deviants and perverts. And unfortunately, the deviants and perverts are at the top of the news. In fact, I couldn't go on the Drudge Report today. I went on it for just a split second, and I had to get off because of the picture that he put up at the top. But there is a growing rift occurring. A civilizational clash is upon us. And I'm going to go into some of the depictions of it, some of the symptoms of it, and some of the opinions about it, and what exactly it is. And I'm not going to describe the picture, and you don't want to go there. My guess is Drudge will leave it up all night. But let's start instead with a misinterpretation, or at least a misunderstanding, of the seismic and catastrophic rift that is coming to a head in civilizations across the planet. We start in Europe, a report from Breitbart's Big Peace site. The headline talks about the new battle between conservative nationalism versus liberal multiculturalism. Breitbart London reports that voters in the United Kingdom, India, and the United States are putting their elite masters on notice that the slumbering giant of right-tilting nationalist populism has been aroused. Breitbart labels the battle as one between conservative nationalism versus leftist multiculturalism. They talk about the United Kingdom, the upcoming elections to European Parliament. Those elections are coming up at the end of the month. And the United Kingdom Independence Party, which is the aforementioned right-leaning nationalist populist party, and the rest, which is the rest of all of England. Breitbart reports that the submerging of British sovereignty into a European superstate has become a major flashpoint in UK politics. The Liberal Democrats, the Tories, and the opposition Labour Party are all united in support of the EU. Yes, that's the EU referred to here on the Worldview as the EU. Just a bad idea. They remind us that Margaret Thatcher was in fact deposed back in 1990 over the issue of the United Kingdom joining the EU. And coincidentally, they report that London has now eclipsed New York City as the world's financial capital. Yes, that was up on the Drudge Report before he put up all the freaks and the weirdos and the deviants and the perverts and made me sick to my stomach. So, London has eclipsed New York as the most expensive place to live, with the most expensive apartments, with the most banking and financial transactions. So, London is now the world's financial capital, according to some. And maybe it is. But, you know, so was Babel. And so was Sodom. And so was Greece. And so was Rome. So what good is it to be the world's financial capital if you're corrupt, evil, and wicked? And if this is the battle, as defined by Breitbart, between conservative nationalism, or what they called right-leaning, right-tilting nationalist populism, and liberal multiculturalism, well, then that in and of itself is a sign that Western civilization is rapidly drawing to an end. it's truly over if that is the battle. I disagree. I don't think the battle is between conservative nationalism or right-tilting populism and liberal multiculturalism. I can barely even say it. The battle is between good and evil. It's between God and the wicked, and it has always been thus. And the conservative nationalists, if they think, indeed, that they can somehow restore the greatness of Western civilization apart from a godly foundation, well, they're sadly mistaken. And what they're going to end up with is a situation very similar to the Russian front, where there just are no more good guys. It's just all bad guys against each other. Because conservative nationalism or right-tilting nationalist populism does not lead to what we had in America and Western Europe, frankly, for the better part of 1,000 years. That's not where it came from. It didn't come from the financial centers. It came from the pulpits and the pews and the churches. And if the pulpits and the pews and the people therein are not motivated to take part in this battle, then either the nationalists or the multiculturalist liberal homosexuals will win. And either way, it does not bode well for the future of civilized people anywhere in the world. All right, speaking of all that, a report from the Daily Mail. This is out of our culture file here at the Weekly Worldview. The Daily Mail reported on the big Eurovision Song Contest. I think we touched on this a week or two ago. And a bearded Austrian drag queen has won the Eurovision Song Contest. It's a boy dressed as a girl wearing a dress and a beard. And it's really disturbing to see that image on your computer screen when you're just trying to check the news. But that's where I was. Well, for the better part of the past few days, I checked the Drudge Report. I check WorldNet Daily. I check Breitbart. I check Michael Savage's site. I check The Blaze once in a while. Check a number of different news outlets, secular news outlets. And you just couldn't go to the Drudge Report without your stomach turning. They had this picture of this pervert. Do I want to even give this pervert any more? Well, let's have a quote. This singer is called Conchita, I think. Conchita, which is a boy with a beard and a dress. And he says, "This is dedicated to everyone who believes in a future of peace and freedom. For our society, it showed me that there are people out there who want to go into the future and go on, you know, not stepping back or thinking in the past." Unquote. That's Conchita, the boy dressed as a girl with the beard. Daily Mail reports that pushing the boundaries of gender identity is nothing new at Europe's annual song contest. Apparently, this has always been a parade of perverts and weirdos and deviants for years now. It reminds me back when I was, I don't know, 12, I was young, 13, and Boy George had his first big hit. And I remember my father thinking, this surely is the end. Surely, if God does not strike out and lash out against a society that would put such filth at the top of the pop charts, he'll have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize. And this is 30 years ago now, for crying out loud. We're 30 years on from that. Let's see, officials. Oh, speaking of the clash that Breitbart misinterprets as this battle between nationalism and liberal multiculturalism, this is the real battle. Officials, the song, this Eurovision Song Contest where the bearded lady won, has been condemned by countries such as Russia, Armenia, and officials in Belarus actually branded the contest, quote, "a hotbed of sodomy," unquote, from Belarus. Yes, the Daily Mail reports that amid growing tensions over the Ukraine crisis, some in Eastern Europe have blasted the bearded lady as just another example of the West's decadence. And you can't really argue with the Belarusians about that, can you? Certainly is a sign of decadence. Apparently, every time Russia got votes in the contest, the audience booed. Just because Russia passed some laws about not teaching kids about homos, So they got booed. And the winner was picked in this Eurovision Song Contest. The bearded lady was vaulted to victory by votes from television viewers across Europe. Yeah, so there you have democracy in action in Europe. They put a transgendered freak of nature at the top of their pop song contest. Democracy in action in Europe. And now we have the kiss on the Drudge Report. And apparently, I was talking to a friend of mine at church, and he watched the NFL draft. Apparently, a lot of people watch the NFL draft as an event in and of itself. And my friend, who's probably watched it for the last 40 years, maybe the last 50 years, he's watched the NFL draft or listened to it on the radio. He said this is the first time that after the first round, the entire buzz in the media was about only one topic, and that was homosexuality. Because this football player, this homosexual football player was waiting to be drafted, and he finally was toward the end. And then, of course, he kisses his boyfriend on national television live, and Drudge has to put it up on his website where it's been all day on Mother's Day, Sunday, in front of God and everybody. Matt Drudge, what is your problem? Yeah, you have the kiss, and then you have the bearded lady up there for 2 days, 3 days. We'll see how long the kiss lasts. Disgusting. My guess is that Matt Drudge will come out as a homosexual in the next 2 years. And then all the conservatives who have supported him as a conservative news outlet, they will be basically backed into the position that homosexuality is a conservative principle because, after all, Matt Drudge is a homo. Anyway, can I get sued for saying that Matt Drudge is going to come out, in my opinion? Is that possible? I could be sued for that? Well, I could use the publicity, frankly. So it's just a feeling I've had about Matt for the past several years. Matt Drudge has probably been the biggest purveyor of the homosexual megaphone in the media. If there's a homosexual controversy, Matt Drudge puts it front and center every time. Like with this football player, this disgusting display on his website today. Meanwhile, across the globe, more than 200 schoolgirls were abducted in Nigeria by fanatic Muslim militants, and the Boko Haram, who we've reported on extensively here, the Boko Haram is threatening to marry off the girls and sell them into slavery. And over the past week, the Nigerian military has carried out a search operation for these 200 and some odd schoolgirls who were kidnapped. And the president there of Nigeria, President Goodluck Jonathan, said the government still does not know where the girls are. It's about 223 girls are still missing. They were abducted from their boarding school. You've all read the story. Boko Haram released that video. Just talk about an image from the pit of hell. Was the image of this terrorist leader promising to sell these girls off as slaves. And by the way, one of the reasons he can sell them off as slaves is because in Islamic Africa, there's still a healthy slave trade, especially for young boys and young girls. This terrorist is Abubakar Shekau. Abubakar Shekau says he's going to sell these girls off into slavery. The president, Jonathan, said over this past weekend that he had reached out to the U.S., Britain, France, and China for help. And we'll just see. So U.S. Secretary John Kerry, according to the Telegraph here, has promised that Washington will do, quote, everything possible, unquote, to help Nigeria deal with Boko Haram militants and bring the girls home. So John Kerry has promised that Washington will do everything possible. So he's already broken that promise. Everything possible would include sending troops. And I know, I have many in my audience who say that America is not the policeman of the world and we should not involve ourselves in foreign expeditions and adventures. And while all that may sound well and good, there are few opportunities when the eyes of the entire world are on a particular topic all at once. And these Nigerian schoolgirls being kidnapped, this is one of those moments. And this is a moment when someone in the world, someone who wants to lead the world should take the opportunity to stand up, to go into Nigeria, destroy Boko Haram, and rescue those girls.
When the children cry, let them know we tried. 'Cause when the children sing, then the new
that leader to go in to Nigeria and show the world, teach the world a lesson in right and wrong? Well, I don't think it will be Barack Obama. I don't think it'll be the Barry and Kerry show. I don't think the Chuck Hagel military is in any position to go and teach the world a lesson in right and wrong. And unfortunately, the weakness and the immorality, the wickedness of the West leaves the world in a position that someone other than us will be the one. And they may not be good guys. I know. Where are the good guys? I don't know that America's a good guy anymore. I know, it's sad to say. I was actually in the military, and at the time I thought we were the good guys. I thought it was fairly clear, but the lines are blurred now. In fact, I have a report. Barack Obama, while Boko Haram was teaching the world who they are, loudly, proudly, in public, in front of God and everybody, President Obama was at various fundraisers out on the West Coast. Yes, he was out in L.A. I believe he was up in Northern California, all the way down to San Diego. He was in Hollywood, out there raising funds, and at a fundraising dinner, he gave a speech, about a 15-minute speech, in which he said the following. He warned of a self-fulfilling prophecy. During a midterm election year, where people who have the most at stake in a government that works opt out of the system, those who don't believe government can do anything are empowered, gridlock reigns, and we get this downward spiral of even more cynicism and more dysfunction. And we have to break out of that cycle. That's what this election is all about. My Barack Obama impression is starting to sound like Richard Nixon. Have you noticed that? Richard Nixon is creeping in. Anyway, Obama spoke for about 15 minutes and said nothing. He did say that he does not buy into this notion that somehow America is on a downward trajectory. Oh, yes, Mr. President, you don't buy into it? Prove it. Go rescue those girls and kill the Boko Haram. Prove it, you cowardly... All right. Let me just calm down. Now's your chance to prove it, Mr. President. Let's see. Tickets to the fundraising event that Barack Obama attended while these Nigerian girls were no doubt cowering in fear and being abused. In the full knowledge of every single person on the planet with access to the media, these girls are being terrorized, brutalized, probably raped and beaten. He went to a fundraising event where tickets started at $10,000 a person. Those donating $32,400 got listed as sponsors. Those donating $64,800 were listed as hosts and could take part in a VIP clutch. It's called a VIP clutch. Well, you don't want to know, because this is a Hollywood fundraiser, and with as many homosexuals as an event like this draws, You don't want to know what the VIP clutch is. I mean, with that many homos in the room, you just don't want to know. You don't want to have any part of any of that. Well, after the fundraiser, Obama went to the Shoah Foundation, where he received the Ambassador for Humanity Award. Yes, Ambassador for Humanity, I said. As nearly 300 schoolgirls are being tortured and held against their will publicly. Mr. Obama he received this award from Steven Spielberg and a bunch of other rich Hollywood famous stars. They presented him with their Ambassador for Humanity Award. It's the highest honor that the Shoah Foundation bestows upon anyone. And the Shoah Foundation, according to Variety, where I got this story, the foundation was established by Steven Spielberg after Schindler's List to gather stories of Holocaust survivors as well as those of other genocides. So no doubt Barack Obama attended as a representative of the American abortion genocide that he has participated in for his entire adult life. Yeah, yes, as well, apparently Spielberg now honors the perpetrators of genocides as well as the survivors, ironically enough. So I don't think it'll be Barack Obama launching the effort to rescue the girls in Nigeria. I don't see that happening. He'll be at fundraisers, or he'll be calling up the homosexual football player and congratulating him on being drafted 247th in the Oh, he already called him. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Barack Obama has already called the homosexual football player. I don't know his name. I know his last name is Sam, or his first name is Sam. Maybe he's one of those, he only has one name, Sam, like Cher. I don't know. I don't know the fella's name. I'm not a big football fan. I didn't watch the draft. But apparently, Mr. Sam pretty much ruined the draft for any normal people. My friend told me it was simply unbearable to listen to the media as the pressure built and built and built. It was like, draft the homo, draft the homo, draft the homo, was the chant in the hall. Must have been very disturbing for people who've actually been entertained and interested in the NFL draft before. But that's what Barry's doing. Barry is on his mission. We all have our missions in life, and Barry is on his, and it doesn't involve rescuing girls kidnapped by satanic, demonic maniacs who publicly advocate for slavery of black children, Mr. Obama. No, they tweet out the hashtag, right? That's what the West has been. That's what we've fallen to. We hashtag and tweet, bring back our girls. You send in the Marines and you slaughter these maniacs. Meanwhile, in the West, where liberal multiculturalism, which is really just another word for homosexuals, I'm sorry, abortionists and homosexuals, that's what's at the bottom of all of the leftist, multiculturalist, the Democrats, they're homosexuals and they're baby killers is what they are, sexual deviants and murderers, and it's them against us, the normal people, the civilized people, the Christian West, if you will. So meanwhile, here's the state of the Christian West as reported from the Associated Press. In New York City, the first openly homosexual Episcopal bishop plans to divorce his husband. That's the big news in the West. Yeah. No mention of what we're going to do about Boko Haram in this story. This is all about Bishop Gene is announcing the end of his marriage to Mark. He sent out an email to the Diocese of New Hampshire, even though he doesn't work there anymore. Why? Because he's desperate for attention, like most mentally ill homosexuals. He sent out an email where he said, quote, "It is at least a small comfort to me as a gay rights and marriage equality advocate to know that like any marriage, gay and lesbian couples are subject to the same complications and hardships that afflict marriages between heterosexual couples. All of us sincerely intend, when we take our wedding vows, to live up to the ideal of till death do us part. But not all of us are able to see this through. until death indeed parts us. Unquote. That was his desperate attention-grabbing email sent to the diocese, where he doesn't work anymore. The homo bishop endured death threats during his 2003 consecration, and in 2006 he sought treatment for alcoholism. Robinson was widely celebrated as a pioneer for gay rights. He delivered the benediction at the opening 2009 inaugural event for President Barack Obama. Do you remember those? Oh, those were heady days with Barack. He is now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, a pile of the aforementioned deviants, perverts, and baby murderers. Robinson had been married to a woman at one point in his life and actually had two children before he and his wife divorced, proving his own axiom. This guy can't stay married to anything. He has no standards. He has no character, and he was a bishop in the Episcopal Church, not surprisingly. Let's see. He says, my belief in marriage is undiminished by the reality of divorcing someone I have loved for a very long time and will continue to love even as we separate. Love can endure, even if marriage cannot. Mark, I love you. All right. No, love, when your marriage breaks up, trust me, love has not endured. In fact, that's the lowest bar. Just staying married, right? One could assume that you still love each other. After the divorce, I'm afraid not. Bishop Gene, the homo, I'm afraid you're not fooling anyone. Not only do you not love Mark, you never loved him. You're just a couple of mentally ill perverts. And you're, frankly, you're ruining the culture for everyone else. And you're making us all sick, and we're frankly sick of talking about you people.
Floors, they get the spaces in between. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, 'cause I'm the next big thing in Beverly Hills. That's where
no doubt.
I
say no doubt. Okay, boys. Come on now. Now, no doubt that Bishop Gene would be widely accepted in the community out there that attended Barry's Hollywood fundraiser, and Steven Spielberg. Let's see, we got names here. See if you recognize any of these. Toby Emmerich, Ron Meyer, Jeff Garland, Samuel L. Jackson, and Liam Neeson were all attending the fundraiser for Barry, and no doubt they all sent their best wishes to Bishop Gene on the sad, sad announcement that he's divorcing the latest person that he found himself sexually attracted to. That's just wonderful. All right, meanwhile, on the traditional marriage front, well, I don't know that we could call this traditional marriage, but at least it's heterosexual. I'm doing this for you, my dear. I'm going to do a story about non-deviant perverts. According to a Spartanburg Police Department report in Spartanburg, South Carolina, a 21-year-old man told officers that his ex-girlfriend, invited him into her apartment last Tuesday. Now, the man described the woman as his baby's mama. He told the police, "It was my baby's mama." Yeah. Okay, so let me stop right here. The fact that one of the sacred institutions, motherhood, has been so defiled by our culture that in certain communities it is acceptable to use the term baby mama, I hate that. It makes me crazy. I hate it. This man, Roderick Tucker, I hate this man. I hate him with a pure and perfect burning violent hatred. To call a woman a baby mama, to me, defiles everything that is good and righteous in the world. And that's all that's reflected in motherhood. Motherhood, a sacred institution, reduced now to a baby mama. That's just a girl who had one of his babies. She's just a baby mama. And that's apparently common parlance in certain communities in America. Well, this girlfriend, his baby mama, invited him into the bedroom. And once he was lying there on the bed, he says his other baby mama entered. Wow. Yeah, and the two women yanked him off the bed and began repeatedly punching him in the head and face.
Why is this story for me?
Because at least they're heterosexual, is what I'm saying. At least they're not queers. You know, you're not going to get physically ill.
Oh, my gosh.
That's...
I'm
sorry, this is making you ill anyway. Well, they beat him on the head. They knocked him to the floor, these two mothers. Then both females began to tase him with a stun gun. Eventually, the man picked up his baby and tried to hold it between himself and the attacking women. But the women continued to swing at him until he finally gave the baby to one of the mothers. And the man who was assaulted told the police that he believed the women were mad at him because he has a new girlfriend. Yeah. On his Facebook page, he lists his occupation as a certified sex specialist. Yeah, on his Facebook page. So this is the state of... I don't know what you would call this. It's certainly not marriage. But this is the state of the non-homosexual community, which is pretty bad. At least in this particular circle in Spartanburg, South Carolina, is disgusting. And the thing with this story is, it's as bad as the Ukraine, because there just are no good guys. These women have defiled motherhood. This man is just a piece of garbage. The women are just maybe one notch better. I guess we could admire the fact that they didn't have abortions and they didn't kill their babies. But again, that's lowering the bar pretty low, America. So my 5-year-old, Alexis, at the dinner table the other night, she asked me, "Daddy, who made bad guys?" And wow, that's actually a very deep question. I think she's a genius, by the way. She's probably going to be a philosopher. Yeah, I think she's a genius. And my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we talked to her about the fact that, well, God made people, but people decide themselves to make themselves bad guys. And that there are good guys and there are bad guys. We've always taught our daughters that there are good guys and there are bad guys, and that boys, in general, are bad, not to be trusted. Yes, we have. And the unfortunate thing for my daughters is that 30 years from now, they may have no good guys to be an example, or very few. At the rate things are going, they'll be asking, where have all the good guys gone? That's what their kids will be asking them. Unless the few normal people who are left in the pulpits and the pews across America decide that we're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to allow our civilization to be taken by the deviants and the perverts and the ones who would corrupt and murder our children. Because Boko Haram and the homosexualists, they're part of the same side. They're evil. And it's the normal people who have heard the voice of Jesus Christ and have believed. It's the normal people who can save the world from itself. And I'm speaking in a carnal sense here. Because believe me, what's coming... I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be the end times, but it's going to get pretty ugly out there. If you start letting the homosexualists take over on the one side, and you allow the Islamists to take over on the other side, and what happens to the Christians and the Jews? Well, it's going to get pretty ugly. What's the solution? Well, I'm working on that. Let me keep thinking about it. I think the solution is for godly people to have a lot of kids and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord so that there is a generation to be called upon when they are needed. And we as Christian parents need to lead our children and teach them how to think and how to worship and how to pray and teach them what is right and what is wrong. And, well, at least if we go down, we'll go down fighting. All right. Now, reason number 724 to get or keep your children out of the government schools Breitbart reports that a 47-year-old former high school teacher in Odessa, Texas, shot himself dead on May 7th following allegations that he had an inappropriate relationship with a female student. Mark Lampman taught at Permian High School for 17 years. He taught government, and he was also the golf coach for the girls' team. Permian High is famous for being the inspiration of the popular book Friday Night Lights. Mark Lampman, who committed suicide, is the fifth teacher at Permian High to be accused of having sexual relationship with students during this past year. The other four suspects were all female teachers.
Ooh.
I know. Reason number 724. My band director, when I was in, I can't remember if I was in grade school or in high school, but the band director impregnated a cheerleader and had to literally flee town. Her father had made it known that if he saw the man, he was going to shoot him on sight. This is a small town in West Texas. It was well known that he would be shot on sight by the father, and I don't believe the police were watching the father. I believe they had made some kind of gentleman's agreement that if he could catch him, he could catch him. Anyway, the band director did flee town, and I think he eventually married the cheerleader. I don't remember all the details. But that was 30 years past all that going on. We're 30 years further down the road to hell in the government school system, so there's yet another reason. Now, reason number 692 to keep or get your children out of the university system in anywhere. An assistant professor at East Carolina University instructed his students to prepare a 35-word personal statement at their graduation that mentions their future plans or thanks someone. The teacher, the assistant professor, made it clear, however, students were explicitly forbidden from thanking God. The professor wrote in his email, "You can't thank God. I'm sorry about this, and I don't want to have to outline the reasons why," he said in an email to students at East Carolina University. Isn't there a North Carolina and a South Carolina? Why is there an East Carolina University? I'm sure there's a reason. The professor said, "Look, this is not a religious ceremony. It's purely educational." So here you go, folks. The education establishment considers religious instruction something separate from education. And that's why they will lose this civilization. They will destroy it, and they will eventually get us all killed, because they don't realize that religious instruction is the foundation of education. True religious education is the foundation of all education. And if the Christians are forced out, then the void will be filled by the secular humanists or, heaven forbid, the Islamists eventually. Because the Islamists will eventually kill all the queers. That's what the queers don't get. Or maybe they just don't care because deep down they're mentally deranged, suicidal freaks. Could I get sued for saying that? I might could. Let's see. Later on, the college provost released an email saying that, well, students can thank God and they can make any religious references they want. And so, but still, I wouldn't send my kid to East Carolina University or any other university, frankly. Let's go to Harvard. CNS News reports that a satanic black mass reenactment is scheduled to take place tomorrow at Harvard University. Yes. Harvard, I said. Yeah, the Satanic Temple is going to host this reenactment. And a spokesman for the Satanic Temple says that the Black Mass is a declaration of personal independence against the stifling authority of the church. Yes, representatives of the Satanic Temple will provide narration at the Black Mass at Harvard on the academic and historical aspects of the Satanic Mass. This is reason number 691 to keep your children out of Harvard and other such universities. The Cultural Studies Club, which apparently allows the Satanists in along with others, they say they're also going to be hosting a Shinto tea ceremony, a shaker exhibition, and a Buddhist presentation on meditation. So, hey, I mean, you get your kids exposed to all different you know, three or four things that'll send their soul directly to hell for eternity, and then they'll slip in a little something Christian at some point. Mm-hmm. Well, aren't the Shakers Christians? I'd have to look that up. Anyone who knows about Shakers, I thought they were, aren't those the ones who handle the snakes and get all, they start freaking out and stuff? I could have that wrong. Shakers could be pagans as well. I don't. Harvard University, by the way, was launched in 1639 through a financial gift from the Protestant clergyman John Harvard. In its early decades, Harvard trained many Protestant ministers who went on to serve the various Christian churches of New England. The Satanic Temple, on the other hand, was founded just a few years ago, and they're going to do a black mass. They're the same group that's trying to have that statue of Satan installed on the grounds of the Oklahoma State Capitol. The one with Satan with the children gathered around? Yeah, same group. Harvard University. Okay, well, there you have that. I mean, what more need you say? That's Harvard. And if Harvard is not a barometer of Western civilization, well, I don't know what is. So we're hosting the Satanists at Harvard. Barack Obama is out there raising money and calling homosexuals and congratulating them on their sexual proclivities on the phone. And Boko Haram runs wild in Nigeria in front of God and everybody. It's embarrassing and dangerous. And I'm tired of reporting on it. I wish things would change, but I think I'm too old to run for king of the world. I don't think that's something you run for. I'd like to find myself in a position of authority somehow. But I know that my shortcomings will be made up for by some other young man out there who will end up by the grace of God as someone of authority who can save these idiots from themselves. All right. Meanwhile, from Deadline.com, a pile of homosexuals reported that the Benham twins, who star in HGTV's recently greenlit reality series Flip It Forward, well, the pile of homos reported that the Benham brothers are actually anti-gay activists, and so the HGTV network has canceled the series, which was set to debut in October. Yes, Right Wing Watch reported last week that David Benham had led a prayer rally outside of the DNC in Charlotte in 2012, in which he said that America's Christian majority must repent for tolerating homosexuality and its agenda that is attacking the nation. That's what David Benham said in front of God and everybody. Speaking of that next bold generation, David Benham sounds like one of them. He said the Christian majority must repent for tolerating homosexuality and its agenda attacking the nation, and the demonic ideologies taking over our universities and our public school systems. Yeah. His twin brother David joined him at the prayer protest. And the pile of homosexuals at Right Wing Watch, they claim that David and his twin brother also lead protests outside of abortion clinics. So HGTV, who had announced that the show was greenlit, they said it was one of the funnest, best shows coming up on their new schedule last month. They said they had picked it up. Well, the network has dropped it. They say that here's how they described the series before they found out the Benhams were normal Christians. They said after a decade of, they called the show Flipping Forward. They describe it as, after a decade of flipping houses for profit, brothers David Benham and Jason Benham now help families buy the homes they never thought they could afford. In each episode, the guys help a deserving family find a fixer-upper and transform it into their forever home. And that sounds like good television to me. So I'd watch it. Sounds good. You get the remodeling, which is always fun. And you get these men doing good for people who need help. I mean, that's a great combination. Well, HGTV, which you know was dubbed on this broadcast. I believe we hold the trademark on this. Homo and Gay TV, we called it. Yes, and now you know why. Homo and Gay TV has dropped the Benham Brothers. Why don't you grow up? To be a man. It ain't the way you knew. you. Yeah, yes. That's right. The Benham brothers doing their best to hold the line against the collapse of Western civilization, get canceled, and HGTV greenlights a show from that degenerate, Ellen DeGeneres. There's a barometer of the state of Western civilization, America. By the way, I myself have actually participated in a protest in front of an abortion clinic with the father of Jason and David Benham, Flip Benham. Yeah. Flip Benham, by these guys' father, he led Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade. He led her in the prayer, the salvation prayer. She got saved on her knees in front of these guys' father. And there's a barometer that you might want to take note of. All right. Here's another one from the Culture File. Birth rates have been tumbling around the world since 2008. We've been reporting on this since we went back on the air in 2009. And the AP reports on the declining birth rates, they say, for those who fear an overcrowded planet, this is good news. But for the economy, it's not so good. Yeah. Economists attribute up to a third of all economic growth to more people joining the workforce each year. Believe it or not. Now, we never had thought of that. That was important. More people? That's bad, isn't it? Well, it turns out, no. So this is the Associated Press completely missing the point. Completely missing the point. The Associated Press barely willing to admit the economic value of new people. Barely able to admit it. And they seem almost surprised. Here's what they say. The Associated Press urinalist who wrote this story says, more people joining the workforce every year than leaving and are important to economic growth. Now, this secret fuel of the economy, rarely missing and little noticed, is running out. Yeah, see, it was a secret fuel we didn't realize. I'm an Associated Press urinalist. Yes. So to the Associated Press, new people joining the workforce, they call it the secret fuel of the economy. These people are the delusional. They didn't realize that you need to have more people. This was a secret to them. Obviously not an economics major, a journalism major in college. Anyway, they do go on to report that births are falling in China, Japan, the United States, Germany, Italy, and nearly all other European countries. And we have a quote from one mother in Berlin. Here's another signpost for those of you wondering about the condition of Western civilization. This German mother says, now that I'm finally back to working full-time, I don't really want to have another child. Besides, I've got plenty of friends my age who don't have any children at all. Unquote. As if that's fine. Yeah, that's wonderful. So the birth rates are declining, and instead of recognizing the threat to humanity and the dire condition of so many souls who don't want to have kids because they're just selfish, self-absorbed, or they're homosexuals, or they're into pornography and sports, and that's it. They're into themselves. Instead of commenting on that, which to me is the billboard that should be obvious from these declining birth rates, instead they talk about how this could be an economic problem. We didn't realize that you needed more babies to keep the economy growing. Who kept that secret? We were all for population control. We thought that was the solution. No, because eventually everybody dies with population control, you ignorant journalist. It's a story from Hollywood, I don't care. Well, I suppose I should give this guy some credit here. Hollywood director John Irwin says that Hollywood is bad.
Okay.
Obviously, this guy's a genius. No, he made a movie, I didn't see it, but it was called October Baby. It was about a woman who survives, it was a film about abortion survival. Anyway, he's got a new movie out, and he's doing an interview. He said that Hollywood never has considered the impact that profanity, violence, and anarchy are having on audiences. He says the industry has failed to take the time to consider the social consequences of distributing messages rooted in rampant violence, sex, and smut. This is a paradigm he says he's hoping to change. Him and his brother have co-directed a new movie, Mom's Night Out, which is a comedy, and it's supposed to be wholesome and good. The director's name is John Irwin, and he says there's no boardrooms in Hollywood where people are asking, is Grand Theft Auto good for people? They only ask, does it make money? Yeah, I think that Mr. Irwin is actually giving Hollywood producers too much credit, because I think not only do they know that it makes money, all the deviants, but I think they enjoy destroying other people because they themselves are wicked and evil and on their way straight to hell with jet rockets. And I think they actually enjoy taking other people with them. And I have met these type of people who enjoy corrupting innocence. They like it. They're evil. So Mr. John Irwin, obviously he's got to make a living out there in Hollywood, but I think he's being far too gracious with the producers of, Grand Theft Auto and all the other evil, wicked, disgusting pop culture that's out there. All right. We're almost out of time. Let's see here. Real quick, Chuck Hagel, he's the Secretary of Defense, believe it or not. I know. You think you woke up and you're down an Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole, right? What? Chuck Hagel's the Secretary of Defense? What planet am I on? Well, it's true. And on ABC's This Week, Chuck Hagel said that the military's ban on transgendered individuals should be reviewed. Yes, now Hagel did not take a position on whether the ban should be overturned, but he did say that it should be reviewed. And we know, yes, I know, that's how the homo thing got repealed. They said, well, let's study it. Let's study the issue. Yeah. So that's the first step that the deviants take, and then eventually, of course, you'll have trannies in the military. A policy director for the LGBT military advocacy group, Sparta. I know, isn't that weird? These people, I mean, they know their history. They know who they are and what they're doing. They know, you know what Sparta was? It was a pile of homosexual military fanatics. And you know why Greece eventually fell? It was because of all the piles of homos everywhere. Anyway, this group Sparta says many of our allies, including the UK, Australia, and Israel, already allow transgendered people to serve with pride and honor. It's time for the US to join them. Oh my, really? Is that what we want to be? I know my friend who's into the end times, you know, he told me Israel. Oh, Israel's back in the land. I said, how do you even know God recognizes that pile of deviant perverts in Israel as Israel? I mean, just because they've set up a secular, godless, baby-killing, homosexual-promoting government does not necessarily indicate to me that Israel is back in the land. I'm sorry. So I'm not so worried about the end times, bottom line. The Pope is a communist. Red flag, Pope is a communist. The Pope, during a speech to Unsecretary General Ban Ki-moon, the Pope said... he called for the United Nations to promote a worldwide ethical mobilization for solidarity with the poor. Yes. Yes. I know. Wait a second. He also said a more equal form of economic progress can be had through the legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state. Pope is a communist. Look out. Okay, I said it first, okay? I was the first person in the media, as far as I know, who said the Pope is a communist. And now it's been confirmed by who? By the Pope! Yes, yes. Oh, the Pope was at the UN just after the UN had engaged in a second round of grilling. Uncommittees had grilled church officials over the church's sex abuse scandals. So the Pope goes in there and kowtows to all the communists at the UN. And so, just by chance, neither the Pope nor the Unsecretary General brought up the issue of sexual harassment or sexual scandals while the Pope was there. Francis did refer to the church's opposition to abortion. Okay, Mr. Pope, I'm not impressed. So you're against killing babies? Big deal. I'm against stomping on puppies. I'm supposed to be impressed? You're the head of the, you're supposedly the head of the worldwide Christian church, and you're going to say, well, hey, I'm against killing babies. Well, that's a pretty low bar. You're also a communist, okay? That's it. I really don't have anything else. You should just go ahead and start the music. I got to get out of here. I got to go back on the road. I'm depressed about it. So these days, every time I have to go on the road, and my extremely attractive audio engineer is unable to join me because I have to go to Sodom. I mean, Las Vegas. Can't take the kids to Vegas. So I have to go on the road for a few days, and I get depressed now days in advance. I feel it's like walking into a dark, black, thick, viscous cloud of depression, knowing that I now have to go out on the road and leave my girls at home. It's very depressing. And so I was barely able to get through this show. I hope you people appreciate what I'm doing for you. Yeah, I'm very depressed. So I'm going to be somewhere next Sunday. I will not be here in the Worldview Studios, so I don't think there will be a show next week unless something changes dramatically. So you'll have to bear with me. What do I have? My final story is from the Daily Mail, and it's about a privacy spray that someone is selling to relatively stupid people. This is a spray that promises it will remove all traces of your DNA. Yeah, they call it an invisible spray, and they're due to go on sale this summer. Billed as a device or a substance to protect people's privacy. But in theory, says the Daily Mail, it could also be used by criminals to commit crimes without getting caught. Yeah. Okay. Well, frankly, I don't buy it. Okay? You're going to sell me a spray for $60? No, $100. You're going to sell this spray. Who's going to buy this spray? Stupid criminals. That's who's going to buy this spray. I believe there already is such a spray. It's called bleach, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Luminol. Anyway, so if you're stupid enough to think that you can buy a spray that's going to remove all traces of your DNA, well, you're probably a criminal. And yeah, criminals aren't the brightest people on the planet. Maybe this is someone will shell out $100 for a spray that removes all of your DNA. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. But really of no redeeming value to the show. I just wanted to point out that some people are stupid enough that you can sell them. Well, literally, this is snake oil. This is 21st century snake oil. And it just makes me smirk that the paranoid class out there looking to cover up their DNA and all of that. All right, that's it. That's the show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Like I say, I'll be on the road next week, but I'll be back before you know it. And I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church and American Right to Life, Personhood USA, Theology Online, and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, I will return in a couple of weeks, if not sooner. And until then, may the grace of God be with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.